Blog Talk Radio.
Shalom and good morning, everyone. I am Evangelist Tanita here with our host, Rabbi John Wesley, and we want to welcome you to this Saturday morning broadcast. Today is July the 22nd, 2023, and we will continue with our series, Trusting His Word, Part 6. And I hand the show over to you, Rabbi John.
Amen. Father, thank you for this show. Thank you for answering some heartfelt questions that we all need to have. We all need to know. We all need to understand. What happens, Father God, when it seems as though you're quiet, when it seems as though we don't hear anything from you? What happens to your word? What happens to we have instilled in your word, Father? That's what we want to know today. That's what we want to discuss today. So, Father, I ask for your wisdom, your understanding, your knowledge, your truth. I ask for your voice, for your spirit, your ruach, to begin to speak to us about what does happen and how we should conduct ourselves. Definitely ask you to forgive us and forgive me for sin, for iniquity and transgression. And help me to also forgive those who have done wrong and done evil to me, to my family, and to others to whom I love. We give you the glory right now and the praise in this pertaining to this topic so that we can hear you better and understand your character, to allow that character to be like our character and our character to be like that character. Thank you, Father, in the precious name of Yeshua. Well, the main passage of Scripture in this particular message is in Deuteronomy. It's found in Deuteronomy chapter 32. And even though it's the Song of Moses, we're going to be focusing primarily on verse 17, 18, 19, in 20. So that's verses 17 through 20, with a main emphasis on verse 20. I want us to begin to understand why the Father has given us the Torah and what it is built to do pertaining to his word in us. Because we are his offspring. We know that. Passages of scripture continually tell us this. But there is within us his desire for us to mature, to grow, to become disciplined. And one of the best ways that he does that is by laying before us what his word says about a certain topic or situation that we're faced with. And then like a parent, which he is, he'll step back and allow us to begin to tackle that problem, that situation, wondering, although he already knows, if we are going to reach out to him, if we're going to ask him to help us, to keep us, to allow him to truly be our parent. I'm reminded of our grandchildren. And in this particular case, there was a situation that I was facing, and I shared it with one of our grandchildren. And I had told that particular grandchild, I said, you said that you would help me with this problem, which he did say that he would help me with the problem. And I saw his little mind just like a Rubik's Cube. It just began to think and try to decipher you know, exactly how to fix your problem. And he said the most wonderful thing. And he didn't hesitate. He said, we can ask my dad because he can help us in this situation. And when he said it, it was as if he had 100% confidence and faith that his father could fix the problem, that his father could cause it to never be a problem again. And the way in which he said it caused me to realize that he has had experience in watching his father deal with problems, with situations, with circumstances, very similar to the one that I asked him pertaining to. It was as if he's like, I know that this is not too hard for my father. I know that my father has the perfect answer for this scenario, for this problem, for this obstacle that is trying to get in the way. He can do this. And all of that confidence and faith and trust and assurance and knowing, all of that came out of just those few words, but the intensity of the way he said what he said to me allowed me to know that he trusts that his father can fix it. He trusts that his father can make all of the negative aspects of this problem go away and never be a problem again. That caused me to immediately begin to think about this particular message and think about the type of relationship that our Heavenly Father strongly desires for us to have with Him. Too often, I know in my own life, there's so much of the world that tries to creep in too, causing me to look at the world for answers over what Yah wants for an answer when He created everything. He created it all. But it's so easy to get so caught up in that we lightly emphasis and confidence in what the Heavenly Father says. There's such an attack on the parent-child relationship. This world is trying to change the whole concept of the child being obedient to the parent, where there's no real respect for the parent. There's no reverence for the parent, which causes it to be a reflection of the way they're going to see our Heavenly Father. And in this particular passage, Moses runs into the same problem that we have today. He knew that the children of Israel, even though they'd been delivered in such a miraculous way, and that no other tribe, no other people, ethnicity, had ever had God on their side, protecting them and keeping them, and allowing His word to instruct them, like what was happening here. But yet, Moses knew that the trust that was built up is not long-lasting, and that they were stiff-necked, and that they were hard-hearted, and that they would turn from the precepts, from the words that the Father had given. And there is no difference between them, with all the glory that they saw, and us, which we have in Christ Jesus, a greater glory, but yet the same issue, the same problem, the same circumstance that causes us to be misguided, causes that relationship between us. Verse 17, 18, 19, and 20. We'll read them, all of those first in the King James, and then shortly thereafter in the Amplified, and begin to break it down so that we don't find ourselves imitating the negative aspects of the children of Israel. Evangelista?
Yeah. So Deuteronomy chapter 32, starting at verse 17 to 20, King James Version. They sacrificed unto devils, not to Yah, to gods whom they knew not, to new gods that came newly up, whom their fathers feared not. Of the rock that begat thee, thou art unmindful, and hast forgotten Yah that formed thee. And when Yahuwah saw it, he abhorred them because of the provoking of his sons and of his daughters. And he said, I will hide my face from thee. I will see what their end shall be. For they are a very forward generation, children in whom is no faith. And then the Amplified. The Amplified reads, they sacrifice to demons, not unto Yah, to gods whom they have not known, new gods who came lately, whom their fathers never feared. You were unmindful of the rock who bore you, and you forgot the Yah who gave you birth. Yahuwah saw it and rejected them out of the indignation with his sons and his daughters. Then he said, I will hide my face from them. I will see what their end shall be. For they are a perverse generation, sons in whom there is no faithfulness. Rabbi John?
There have been times in my life, just like there's times in all of our lives, when it seems as though God is quiet and silent pertaining to the times that we call out to him, the times that we need or desire for him to speak to us and to allow us to know what we need to be doing. And I can't help but to understand and know that these times he's testing us. He's allowing us to get a better picture of what's actually inside of us. He's hiding to see what you're made of. If, in fact, that character flaw will be exposed and fixed because we reach out to him, because we ask him to help what we see and what we don't see inside of us. the Torah is designed not just to humble us, like the scriptures say, but it's designed to bring true restoration and reconciliation, true love. There are times when I don't know what he really wants of me and what he really has for me. But his Torah gives me boundaries, enough insight. It helps to light the trail or the pathway so that I can walk circumspectly, so that I can see the crumbs, but so that I can see the footsteps of my father, to know which way he has gone before me. Too often I don't look at his footsteps, and I start to look at blazing my own trail. And as I continue to do that, I don't even confide in him anymore, because from my viewpoint, from my standards of reference, I'm on the trail by myself. Now, we all know that that's not the case, because the passage of Scripture is clear. He will never leave us, nor will he forsake us. But too often we forsake him. Too often we leave him. Too often we take the wrong road and then blame him for not illuminating our path. It's so important as we continue to walk this journey that we first understand that we are never alone, and two, that we should never, ever forget to confide in him, to discuss things with him, so that we can truly understand him. I know for me, there are times when Sabbath comes and I have to remind myself, according to the Torah, not to cook on certain days, not to act in a way that makes the Sabbath a common day. And there are times that I get so caught up with this world that where it's not supposed to be grievous for me, it seems like it automatically becomes grievous. I start making assumptions about what I'm going to do this week, the next month. And because of Torah, because of the feast days, because of what the Father said that I should be doing, it catches me. And I find myself struggling with what I want to do on that day or this day versus what he said to do. Or I tend to forget or choose to forget. These are all signs that I've gotten so caught up in the world standards of things that my faith in what the Father has said and the relationship that he desires of me is being lost. It's so imperative that I get a better understanding of the importance, not just of his word, not just of his Torah, but of his love for me. He created all of this for me. He wants me to inherit his creation because he desires a relationship, and not just a relationship, but a relationship that has within it family structure. That family structure is the instrument that some attorneys call a family trust. That's a legal document that allows the parent to draw up what is to be instituted and distributed to the family after their death. Now, in the father's case, he himself will not die, but his son, Yeshua, did, so that we could have that inheritance. And the beautiful thing is that he lives forevermore. And so he desires to live in us and for us to live with him for more than just eternity. But if he cannot trust us, then the family trust is just a byword. It's just a document that's written on paper, in a book or a folder, that has no true meaning, because it's a contractual agreement that you have to have at least one or more, or correction, two or more individuals signing for it. And if I sign, but yet I don't commit to, and that lack of commitment disqualifies me. That's why it's so important that we come to an understanding of how important it is. The Father desires that family trust be distributed to the family, which means he desires for us, for me, to be considered the family in every aspect. And in the areas where I'm not, is the areas where I don't have the pleasure and the honor to qualify for all that he has and all that he wants to give us. Father, right now, in the name of Yeshua, help me to see the importance of that family trust. The inheritance, yes. The new heavens, the new Jerusalem, all of that is wonderful. But help me to understand my part to play, my obligations, so that I can stay in right relationship with you. Help me to understand that in order for me to have the testimony he desires, that you desire, Father, I have to pass the test. And it's your test and not my test, your terms and not my terms. Each of us have a testimony. Each of us have a test that we need to pass, which will solidify our faith in you. Help me and help that to be part of the focal point that I have here on earth, so that I can receive the well done, my good and faithful servant, when it's all said and done. In your precious name, Yeshua. Amen and amen. Until next time, shalom, shalom.